The top of the hour. Let's get started here. So welcome. I think this is the last. Oh, Christy started recording. I think this is the last of our open forums that are currently scheduled. And as a reminder, there are recordings available. I believe there have been campus-wide emails with links to those. And we still have to get yesterday's out, and we'll try and get this one out as well. I am just going to kind of start by providing you with some information on where you get more information. And that's kind of where I think we titled my open forum as Teach, Work, Learn. So we have ndsu.edu teach, ndsu.edu/work, ndsu.edu/learn. We had pages similar to those that we set up in the spring when everybody went remote. And so those are probably going to be ongoing for us as just a starting place where you can get information about what's available to you in these various capacities. So we have, I'm just showing you the kind of the main pages here on the screen. So this is our teaching page, and there's all sorts of information on this, and I'll kind of give an update. I'll come back and for each area, kind of give an update on what's going to be happening for this fall. And there's all sorts of information here, training. We have some video recordings of things. We've had weekly faculty open forums, and there's information on how to connect there. And so all sorts of information there. Here's our working remotely page. As a reminder, if you are there's information about how to do the telecommuting forum. There was an open forum on that with HR. I think that was Wednesdays. So if you have more questions about that, I'm not really the authority on how that works, but we do have information on that was provided. And a lot of this stuff is going to be relevant if you are working at home intermittently. So, if you're going to have to do some stuff from home as a faculty member who's, you know, I know a lot of faculty members do stuff in the evenings, for example, or staff too. This is useful information that will kind of help with that. And then the last, learn. We are providing information. This is kind of targeted at students and what information they need to have available to them. I'm not going to go through the learn stuff in detail because this was targeted at faculty and staff, these open forums. But I'm mentioning this is out here, and this is a place for those of you who do work with students, you can direct them here to get some additional information. The one thing probably that I think that people didn't know about, students didn't know about, and probably faculty as well in the spring, is that we did provide an option for students to get remote access to the computers in the computer labs. And the plan is for that to continue on this fall. We have a better solution that we got some money from our Federal CARES funds for. That's not going to be ready to go at the start of the semester. That option is just going to be a little more seamless, but this stuff works. It basically gives you full access to all the stuff in the computer labs. So that's probably the thing that students are least aware of that would be good for them to know about. So let me just kind of quick come back through here. I have less updates on I'm going to start with the working remote because there's a few less updates on that. Pretty much all of our services are fully available off campus. Some of the services that are run by the university system are, you can get access to off campus with a few extra steps. That is getting a VPN from the university system. I think most people who had to do that did so. I think Perceptive Content, AKA Image Now. I don't even know if I have the right product name because that's been changing. That's probably the biggest one that you need a VPN for. That's the biggest one. But for the most part, pretty much everything else should be available off campus. There should not be a lot of restrictions. For on-campus services that we provide, access method for the S, the X, and the U drives is slightly different from off-campus, but those are also available. And then it's also possible to get remote into your on-campus computer. I know we have some people doing that. And there's some information about this here. Okay, let me come back over to the teaching. And then I'll kind of just do an overview of all these, and then we'll just go where we want with questions. So just general updates here. So our biggest areas of expenditure for prepping for fall are additional technology in the classrooms, and campus network upgrades. Those are probably the two top items. The classroom scheduled by the registrar are partial. There's a differing state of completion on those. We will probably have none that are 100% done, but the base level of technology in all those rooms already will allow for high flex. It just gets easier as we add technology. Our focus has kind of been shifting to getting new rooms brought online for the registrar so they could get to a 50% capacity. So that's kind of where our focus has been in getting technology and that stuff. I think with regard to, you know, what you're going to expect for this fall, I think everything should be at a minimum level that it should be functional and you can do what you need to do. I will say that it's probably, if insofar as you can get learning assistance to do help, that would probably be a good thing. I know that the provost has had money out for that. To help with that. Couple other notes just on stuff that I've been getting a lot of questions about. So we do, backing up before I move on, we do have probably the biggest upgrade in terms of functionality to all the rooms is the touch panels that are in there. So you could draw on them with the appropriate stylus, and that would basically allow you to annotate what's on the screen, and that would be visible to people in the classroom on the screens, and it would be visible to remote participants as well if the screen is being shared. And you could also use it as a whiteboard. So for instructors who are kind of pedagogy heavy on the whiteboard, that should work pretty well for them. So the two of the biggest questions I have apart from the stuff I've just done is what about microphones and styluses? We have ordered one microphone for every primary instructor, and we probably have about 300-ish extra beyond that that we're going to try and make available to learning assistants, teaching assistants, whatever. We, unless Christy has heard differently, we do not have a firm delivery date. Those have been ordered several weeks ago, but I don't know that we've been able to pry a delivery date out from the instructors. So early in the week, I was hopeful we would, and I'm seeing her shake her head. Early in the week, I was hopeful we would have all of those there, all of these available before classes start. I think the probability feels like it's waning a little bit for me, but I'm really just kind of guessing because we can't get them to say when we're going to get this stuff.
Hey, Mark, is that a lapel mic with a regular, whatever they, not an eighth end, what do they call it, jack?
Yeah, so what we would be providing is the microphone and the cord that plugs into the transmitter battery pack.
Okay, so if someone wanted to buy one themselves, it would be the regular headphone jack, small eighth inch?
No. It's a different kind of connector, and I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Okay.
I believe it's like a proprietary, maybe, but I can double check on that.
No, it's a standard. It's a TPD 4-pin. Okay, and you want the miniature version of it, but it's available out there.
So and TPD 4-pin miniature? Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine to do... I mean, if you get your own, I can't guarantee it's going to be compatible.
No, I know that.
Yeah. But you can certainly give it a try. Put those specs in the chat line. If we could get a confirmed specs in the chat, that would be great. If we don't see them after the fact, I'll check with my staff to see what, maybe Melissa, you could help us figure out a good way to communicate that and exactly what we need. I don't know what you would need to buy to have work in the classroom. And basically what happens when you get this, you have the microphone, you just kind of plug it in and it should work with the transmitter. And we have the same transmitter battery packs in all the classrooms.
And Mark, so, just to confirm, we couldn't reimburse anyone if they purchased them on their own.
That's a very good point. That would have to be either you get your department to convince your department to pay for it, or you'd have to pay for it out of pocket. That is not a purchase we could reimburse. We don't have any money where we can reimburse people for any purchases. That's kind of all. That's kind of all the money we have is strings attached. So, okay. So, if we don't get them on time, we don't have a plan B. The disinfecting options are not great. And so we don't have a plan B, unfortunately. Some of the rooms have catch box mics. Some of them don't. So it's kind of up in the air as to what would, there might be some options that are going to work. It had come up, can you bring in your own mic or you call in with a phone to use that? I think there's going to be challenges with that. There probably are some ways to get it to work, but unless you're kind of tech savvy, it might be a little bit of a challenge. So there's also a question about foam covers. I think we looked at those and we're kind of at the point where we can't change course on this. I think we had looked at the foam covers and maybe you can buy those on your own. I think our ability to get foam covers is pretty low. So we probably can't pull that off. Okay. So, let's see. I'm just kind of scanning through the list here. As a reminder, there is a Zoom license for everyone. Anybody who has NDSU credentials has a Zoom license. Log in with the SSO option. You'll get to an NDSU login screen that hopefully is familiar to you, and you can start using Zoom. And that is, you know, students included. Anybody who has NDSU credentials can do that. As a reminder, there's also Teams and Blackboard Collaborate. And I can just see right here, we actually have a couple other things I'll highlight before I just kind of go to questions. We do have you can see on the screen, we have this chart that kind of compares all the features. Teams is probably the far third choice on using it for instruction. Teams is very good for messaging. So if you want to communicate, so for work, it's very good for messaging. If you want to get your students on board with this, it's really good for messaging. It's basically when you have it on your mobile device, it's basically the equivalent of getting a text message. You don't have to share out your cell phone number that way. One other thing I'll highlight here for instructors, also on this teach page is this HyFlex classroom overview. I think this is Daniel's, correct? We're going to look here. Yeah. So I'm going to stop this. But this is a good video that kind of overviews what would happen. And one of the things that might be helpful for folks to know is Daniel kind of tries the microphones with and without face covering. So you can kind of get a feel for what that's going to sound like and what the difference in quality is. I'll say I thought it was very, very little difference in what the audio quality is going to be with and without the face covering. Okay. I've kind of got through the stuff I prepared, and I will, I'm going to look in the chat and we'll do questions. I see a question from Nancy Emerson, recommended browser for Zoom. So Zoom, it's recommended that you're actually using the client, which you're probably using right now. I think there is a web browser option, but it does work. It probably is best with the client. And there actually is, we've heard some conflicting reports on this. So for Chromebooks, it's supposed to work on Chromebooks. I've had it work and it's been good. We have had some reports that some people have had problems, but there is actually a plugin in the Google Web Store for Chromebooks. And I'm mentioning that particularly because we may have some students who are lower income. The Chromebook is a really good, inexpensive option. It can do almost everything. I think Respondus Lockdown Browser may have a few troubles on there, but for the most part, it can do a whole ton of stuff for us. All right, I will open it to questions.
Mark, there was another question that I think Melissa answered in the chat, but if you join the Zoom call you're using to broadcast to remote students, could you use your headphones as a makeshift microphone? Would the audio come out of the room speakers as well?
So
and Melissa says no.
No, if you take your, I don't have any laying around here. If you take like a headphone, you know, like you'd have for your phone, cell phone or whatever, and you plug it in, I think you could plug it in and the room. I don't know that it's going to go properly through the room system. So
the situation that I'm describing, I may not have described it clearly in the chat, was if I were to take, say, my phone and sign into the same Zoom call.
Yeah.
Students are in. would then the microphone on my phone amplify through the room if I am on the Zoom call?
I think yes, and I think you're also going to risk getting feedback.
Okay, that's good to know. Thanks.
And that's why I said, you know, it's a little tricky. I mean, you can certainly give it a try. And that's certainly possible. And you know, another thing you may want to try as an instructor, if you want students in your room to sign into the Zoom room so that they could participate in the chat that way, that would be totally fine too. I would, any time you have a microphone enabled in the room or additional sound coming out of the speakers on any computer, you're going to risk getting feedback. And, you know, how that will work is going to really vary by, you know, the distance from the speakers and the microphones.
I think there could also be a little delay as well.
Yeah.
In the amplification if you're in the room.
Results may vary. Mm-hmm. And you know, that reminds me, I'm talking about some ad hoc type solutions here. That reminds me of another one that has come up that I'll mention. Holding classes outside. So there are potentially some issues on the facility side. On the IT side, the only designated outdoor space we have for Wi-Fi is the Babbling Brook. There is significant bleed of wireless signal for class, for buildings, and that may work. It's probably best to, if you're gonna try that and you've got all the space thing worked out so you don't have three people all doing a flash mob to the same space at the same time, it's probably good to try and test what kind of Wi-Fi signal you're gonna get, because if you wanna stream it, the reliability of your connection is much more important when you're streaming than if you're browsing. So you might be walking across campus and getting the bleed from the campus Wi-Fi. You might be getting that right now and say, oh yeah, I get campus internet when I'm outside just fine, but that might not be adequate for streaming. So I'd recommend if you want to try that, that you try and give it a test first. Another question? There was a note.
This is gonna put me here.
Go ahead.
On the Zoom video conferencing software, you get to see your video and audio sources under your video and audio controls, and you can select between your video and audio sources. Those are the two buttons on the lower left that you unmute and mute. If you click on the arrow, you select your device that is connected to your computer. So if that is the case, can we bypass the Crestron panel and for faster deployment, can you just connect the devices to the teacher station or the Zoom cart and then use the Zoom controls to control your source and choose which mic is active, whether your lapel mic is active or the classroom mic is active.
Well, the lapel mic,
just involve a simple.
Yeah, you could do some of that, but once you're plugging in an audio input device, excuse me, directly into the computer, the whole room audio is managed by the Crestron device, and the Crestron device doesn't know about that microphone anymore if it's not plugged in there. So there are some options, and there could be some workarounds to get it to work. Does anybody?
Yeah, can you bypass the Crestron panel? That's what I'm asking.
Yes, but then you can't, I don't think that you can bypass it and also have the in-room audio work properly.
Okay.
I think it'll cause some issues with that. And then that might be fine. I mean, I don't know what you're, so, you know, we have very few classrooms that are identical. They're all kind of different and you're going to have different size rooms. So if you're in there and you want to broadcast to remote people, you don't need stuff coming over the in-room audio, that might work just fine. There's a lot of different unique situations. If you're going to do that, just be prepared. Results may vary. I'm not saying don't do it, but just, you know, if you don't want to, you could end up sinking a bunch of time into it and then have your, you know, wishy-washy results. One thing I'm also going to note, so the...
Can I add on to that just
a
little bit? Also, well, never mind. I guess if you're going to record your class for asynchronous viewing, if you're going to do that through Zoom, I guess it probably wouldn't matter. What I was going to say is it needs to go through the system to get captured through the IC for user lecture capture. But I guess if you did a recording in Zoom, though, then that probably wouldn't be having it either.
So a lot of the stuff we do to make these all these various components work seamlessly, if you start plugging stuff in directly to the computer and bypassing it, you'll lose some of this other functionality. And we haven't done a lot of testing with it. And so it's, I mean, I think we'd want to do that to be able to tell you exactly how it's going to behave. But we do know enough to know that it probably won't behave totally as you expect. So, but you know, honestly, nothing is quite as we expect these days. So, one other thing I'm going to mention here, if you're doing meetings and stuff remotely, one other thing is Ganapathy's comments about the little audio and video controls on Zoom mentioned this. You may have multiple audio inputs on your device you're working. I do. I have a webcam on my computer right now, and I also have internal microphone and speakers. In addition to the camera, and, I have an internal camera and microphone in addition to the camera and microphone on my webcam.
And right now I just switched to the internal built-in integrated microphone. And this is a little bit older device here. I'm guessing people could tell that the quality of my audio has changed. And is it worse? Is it a lot worse?
It sounds like you have an echo.
Sounds like I have an echo. Okay, sure. So this is just an example of different audio sources.
Generally, if I, and I switched back here, so hopefully the audio got better. Like plugging in, if you're a remote person, for anything, you may want to kind of think about this. And, you know, plugging in headphones is a really easy way to do it too, so that you can get your audio and audio coming out, you know, output coming into your ear and picking up on a microphone that's near your throat or whatever, so, or your mouth. Okay, other questions people have? In the chat, you can just go ahead and unmute.
Mark, I have one more for you.
Yep.
I've been doing my best to explain to instructors what kind of the minimal setup looks like, and I understand that it's variable based on classroom. Would you be willing to humor me and talk through one more time what that is and what people might expect in their first week teaching?
Absolutely. All right, so I'm sharing my screen here, and we actually have a table. I think it may have been posted in the chat too.
It's the third link on that page under general resources.
2, 3. Mm-hmm. Good. Here it is. So this shows you all the classrooms, and we're going to be updating this as things get complete. This is not the best indicator of progress, just so you know. For an example, to install a Zoom Room computer, there's a whole bunch of parts that are coming together and a bunch of connections that need to get set up. And any one item could say be 90% complete, but we're not going to check the box that it's available until it's fully working. But this will tell you what we have certified as fully working. And so at the top of this, here is the list of all instrumented classrooms have the following equipment installed. And so ceiling mounted projector, wireless microphone, and that is for voice capture and or amplification. A computer has a monitor, DVD, USB, mouse, keyboard, wireless RF mouse, speakers, capture cards for recording instructor voice and content. So you could do lecture capture in all of the rooms. Speakers, interactive panel is the thing that you write on, and we are gonna hopefully have a stylus for every instructor also. Document camera, air media, which will allow you to like bring your, I'm reaching over, I guess I don't need to show you my phone. Bring your phone in and you could project that way from what's on your phone. HDMI and RGB to allow you to bring in your own device. AV control system, and that's the Crestron unit to help kind of control what device is connected. Blackboard, Zoom, Yuja. So Zoom has been added to all the computers in the instructor stations. And then there's, we do have assistive learning technologies. And so if there are students in your class that need it, they should have already ideally gone through disability services, and we should be able to make accommodations for them that they might need. For example, if they're hearing impaired or something like that. So does that answer your question?
It does a bit. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's going to be absent from the full high flex that we've been kind of talking about and promoting to students. It sounds like, if I'm understanding you correctly, I can go into the classroom, I can load Zoom, my voice will be captured, and perhaps some of the student conversation will be captured through the built-in microphone. But unless I bring a camera, remote students would not be able to see what's going on in the room. It would be an audio-only experience before the room is fully equipped.
Exactly. Yes, okay.
You're nodding. And then because I have the projector, those of us in the room could see the remote students by projecting Zoom onto the screen.
Bingo.
Okay.
Also, Carrie, and I apologize if I missed you saying this. I don't think I heard you say it. You would be able to share with the remote students any content from your computer.
Yeah, I didn't add that, and that is an important addition. Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
Here's a visual of it. So the Zoom Room computer is not, Zoom Room computer isn't in a current standard install, and that makes it just easy to join Zoom meetings. For right now, you'd have to have somebody in the room join the meeting. Cameras are in some rooms right now. I don't remember how many off the top of my head. My guess is 10 to 20 rooms have cameras already. Melissa, can you confirm?
If you scroll down that list of cameras, and there's a possibility you won't see any check marks, and that's because so you're correct in that in some of the rooms they're physically installed, but we don't have them programmed yet.
Okay. I thought we had some rooms with the lecture capture that had the camera pointing to the front of the room.
They do, but the touch panel wasn't updated yet. I think Micah, I remember making that same assumption, and I remember the program was the catch on it, and I don't know why what would have been there last semester isn't something that works now. But with that said, I know that there's 4 rooms in Sudro that are actually where the cameras are working. I don't know if Danielle's updated that, if she's done that yet today.
Slight lagging as we get stuff done before this gets updated.
Yeah. I mean, she should be kind of watching it daily, but I don't know if she's done it today. They were new additions last night.
Yeah. So the other thing is that, we have a lot of catch boxes. My guess is that those are not going to be used this fall much. They can be. And then we also have places where we'll be adding ceiling microphones. So that would be another thing that's missing that would allow better participation of students that are in the classroom. So really a Zoom Room computer, audience mic, so to speak, and cameras are probably the biggest things that people would be missing.
That's helpful to know in terms of how to explain things to students as well.
Missing at the start of the semester, they will be showing up as we go. And we've had people working feverishly. We've got 2 different contractors working for us right now. And we've also had, there's just all sorts of supply chain issues that we've
been and we recognize how hard y'all are working.
I just want to be sure I'm doing what we can to manage our expectations. I know we'll have some people show up and it's not going to be what they expect, but it gets more convenient as we get more stuff installed. You can pull it off with what we have right now. Mm-hmm. It's sufficient. It's not necessarily ideal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying.
Yep. And the software that we need to do all this is all there. So the Zoom license is there. Collaborate is a good tool for this. People were using that a lot last spring. And Zoom is integrated with Blackboard. Teams is really good if you're going to do kind of asynchronous text messaging. Google
Mark, I have a request. Mark,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to put you here. I have a request. Daniel was showing us how to switch between the classroom cameras and the document camera and the instructor-facing camera. Now, can it be checked whether the document camera shows up in the Zoom control so it's easier to do? So you just go to the video icon on the lower left corner of the Zoom window and you click on your video feed and the document camera is one of the listed devices. Is that something that would be available? So that's a lot easier to switch to the document camera than the elaborate processes that Daniel was showing using the camera tool in Windows and things like that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
One word.
I don't know if we have anyone who can, do we have anyone who can answer that on?
I don't know the exact answer, but I think we have video instructions on that HyFlex teaching HyFlex page of how to use document cameras for Zoom, Teams, and Collaborate.
I'm sorry, I don't think I was trying to kind of multitasking look through questions that were for me, and I don't know if I really got the gist of this question.
Well, I think here's a simplified version, Melissa. How do we get, if I want the document camera to show to my remote students on a Zoom, if I'm bringing them in by Zoom, how does that work?
Okay. So Christy did answer the question, and that I would recommend watching Daniel's video, because we do have videos posted for how to share your document cameras using Zoom, Blackboard Collaborate, or Teams. It's a different, slightly different directions for each program.
Three videos.
Yeah.
And I think to be a little more specific, it sounded like enough that you've watched the video maybe, but it will the document camera show up like another camera would on a regular Zoom call?
Yes.
Oh, it will. Okay. So Ganapathy,
just wait a second. I hope I answered that correctly. When you got to select the document, okay. You have to go to camera. See, this is where it's better to watch the link, the tube, because I've watched so many different things, I can't keep them all straight.
Christy just posted the link in the chat too.
Yeah. That would be best.
Mark, I've seen that video that Daniel has posted. What I'm asking is, will it show up on that icon on the lower left of your Zoom screen where you have your video feed? It, like you had your internal mic and webcam, and you had choices to show that.
Yeah.
Will it show up there? So it's easier to select your document camera than go through all that
process. I believe it has to be selected through the system. I don't think it can be selected through the Zoom software.
Okay.
Is that that was your question?
That's my question.
Okay. Yeah,
the restaurant system is joining all sorts of different video inputs and audio inputs and whatnot and sending it back. And my guess is that's why, but. Okay, there are other questions here. Could we, Carrie Ann Platt, so could we turn it, is it the document camera? And
yeah, point it towards students? I was asking if it can become a source of video.
Well, some of them are fixed.
Right.
Well, they can.
Right?
Do you mean a source of video, meaning like, say, the camera could be turned on the instructor?
Yeah, or anywhere in the room that would give people who are remote a greater sense of kind of presence. Yep. So
the ones that, which are almost all of them, there's only some, like, well, it's more than a handful. It's probably a couple dozen ceiling dot cams. And those, obviously, they can only point down, I think. I say that like I know it. Maybe there is some control in the control panel that allows you to move a sensor too. I'm not sure. But definitely the ones with the head on the desks. Yeah, if you move that, it's just going to display and capture anything that it sees.
And it can,
so, yep.
In terms of its focus, it would do okay with something further away than document distance?
That would be, like, for an example, if you wanted to, like, just capture the kind of the general sense of the room. I mean, it would see things. When I think of, like, if you were to put a document under it and you need it to focus, like where you need the text to focus, I mean, it's not going to probably be able to focus very well from a great distance in terms of like words on a whiteboard. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would probably be pushing it. Yeah. But if you're just using it as a general sense of movement in the room, and I don't know, it'd be worth experimenting with.
Yeah, or even just being able to walk up toward it with your face, maybe distance that a document would be, but then you can talk to remote students.
Right. It would definitely be something to, you know, once we get the cameras installed, then that would be the better option. But until they are installed, that might be something to look at. Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see what it looks like.
Something else to test, right?
Yeah.
Tim Peterson, when will we know when classes that are going to be moved are going to be moved? I don't know. How about before Monday the 24th? I feel somewhat, I feel 90% confident in saying that. Let's say 80% confident in saying that.
No one's going to come in the middle of our first class and ask us to all relocate.
There'll be someone, for all the Berry Hall classes, there'll be a sign on the door say, your class has been relocated to the Shaq basketball practice area, and you'll have to go up there. And if you're on campus, it'll probably be headed you downtown. All right. Are there any unique issues for Berry Hall? No. I don't think there are any unique issues for Berry Hall. We've had meetings and stuff in there, and I've had good experience with the existing classroom instrumentation, just FYI. So I think nothing unique for Berry Hall that I'm aware of. What about room 20? Is there a specific, Nancy? I got two things about Berry from you. Are you have a specific concern that we should know about? You can unmute and tell us if you want. Don't be shy. If you can unmute, not everybody's on a device where they can do that.
Nancy, you are unmuted, but we're not hearing you.
Hear me now?
Now we can hear
yes.
you.
I have this issue with my headset that I keep hitting the mute button that's on the cord, and I don't realize it. Berry Hall 20 has historically been not a good Wi-Fi connect, and Mark, we've talked with you in the past when you've come to our department meetings.
Yep.
And so I'm not sure if there, I mean, there are many of us who are unwilling to teach in that classroom because of it. I don't know if it's been upgraded.
Well, the Wi-Fi is not part of the classroom tech, and we can address that. And I see Steve Sobiak from my staff on the call. I don't know if we have Pete Lamberts from Network Enterprise Networks on the call.
I'm sending Pete a note right now.
So we'll follow up on that.
Okay. Yep. I think the issue is that it wasn't originally designed to be a classroom and was outfitted after the fact. At least that's what you've told us in the past.
Okay. So in general with wireless, anywhere in our buildings, if you are having trouble with wireless, please report it. And rarely to never do we encounter a situation that we can't address. And just so you know, I've said that you may have heard me say this before, I'm a little bit of a broken record, but having wireless, good wireless signal in spaces is not a static thing. It changes over time. So if somebody does a remodel and now there's different materials, you know, in the wall or in the whatever, the signal changes, or somebody puts up a magnetic whiteboard and that messes up signal that's getting to the neighbors on the other side of the wall, you know, or all sorts of things happen that disrupt wireless signal and it changes all the time. So if there's problems, let us know and we can take a look at it. And almost always we've been able to address it. There's the one place where we probably had most troubles, I think the electrical engineering people tend to generate a lot of interference. It's pretty hard for us to overcome. So I think there have been a couple issues in electrical engineering spaces historically that have been a little tough for us to address. But if they just turn off all their equipment, everything would be fine. I don't know if I can convince them of that. Okay. Other questions?
There was kind of a comment, Mark, from a couple folks about messaging to students and expectations being shared with students about all of the equipment working on day one. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
I don't. I know we've talked some about this with the student affairs folks, and they're kind of in the loop on what's going on. We don't do a lot of direct messaging to students on this kind of thing, and I don't know what's been prepped, particularly when they're not around. Most of our messaging is once they're here. I'm thinking out loud a little bit and stalling for an answer on it. How about, do you know anything, Christy, about what's been going out to students off the top of your head?
I don't think anything has directly addressed this concern other than
to come up with administration.
Yeah, they're aware of it.
I think that part of our concerns is coming from the materials that have been created thus far to help explain HyFlex to students. Like you did one of those videos, Mark, I did one of them, Margaret did one. And so if that's what they're using to inform their expectations of the first week of the semester, attending remotely and not having video, they're likely to be disappointed. So having something sent out, even if you wait until like the Friday before classes start, that says, this is the update. You will be able to join remotely by at least audio on the first day. And we are working to get cameras installed, may help it not become an individual responsibility for everyone teaching to manage those expectations.
So one thing that I'm not sure about is I know we have, Christy and I can talk. I'll talk with Laura Osterallen too. I think I have a meeting with her on Monday, and I'll talk with her to kind of see if I can get more information on what's gone out on their front to incoming students or returning. Some instructors are going to be delivering their instruction remotely, and I'm not totally sure how that's being communicated back to the students. I think through advisors was the plan. I'm just wondering, I want to be sure we don't end up creating confusion with students about this, because some are going to get their, have their instructor remotely. Some of the instructor will be in class. Any advice on that?
I think that
we'll try and figure it out, but
just managing that mentioning that the technology is being installed and will continue to be added through the semester. And if they have questions about what is available in their course, they could email their instructor, just something that puts it out there that it's not all perfect, polished, and ready to go. And some sort of failure on the instructor's part if there's no video that first time they try to connect.
Okay. That's good.
Yep.
Christy and I will sync up on that. We'll see what we can do, what good communication channels we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a note from Suzanne in here. Maybe we should ask students to bring device to class on the first days. I think having a students in the class with a device could be a very helpful tool and help them engage with the online students and make the online students feel more of a part. One dynamic, and this came up with it might have been on the Provost Open Forum last week. This whole thing with this chat going on the side and everybody sitting in front of a computer changes the dynamics of how the information is shared and communicated. And, there's things that can happen and ways that people can interact that kind of didn't exist in a regular face-to-face classroom where that technology isn't there. And so, taking advantage of it might really help student satisfaction and learning.
Can I add one more thing and then I promise I'll be done for this?
No, you don't have to promise. Go ahead.
So one of the best like pedagogy tips that I got for managing the mental overload and this new feature that you're talking about, Mark, which I'm actually really excited about, is potentially making a student in charge of being kind of the voice of the chat, that they're following what's being asked or amplifying it. So you as an instructor don't have to go back and forth as much. Sometimes questions are getting asked and they're answered by others in the chat, but if you can have someone and maybe you pass the role around where they get to be the person who does that, that can help connect students and help manage the mental load for you as an instructor.
So from a non-instructional setting, these open forums, Christy's been helping moderate all these, and that has, so from what I've heard from the other presenters, I think that takes a mental load off them. So sounds like that translates to the classroom too.
That's for everything.
Yeah. Okay, in the spirit of having a moderator, did I miss something, Christy?
I don't think I have anything that's missed yet. If I have missed anything, because I know there's been a lot of discussion back and forth on a couple items too that weren't necessarily questions. So if I missed anything, feel free to unmute and ask or type it back in the chat.
I would just lift up that Melissa pointed out that the foam covers, I mentioned that I had ordered foam covers for relatively inexpensive, and she did say that they tend not to fit right on our classroom lapel mics, that there's a specific foam cover that fits differently. I'm gonna use it and try it anyway as a short-term solution. But before everybody goes out and buys them, just know that that's a risk.
Thank you. All right, anyone else? Feels like we're winded down a bit. All right. Well, I will, let's adjourn. And I will say I've had one big success this week. I made it through this open forum without my power going out. And I'm very happy about it as it continues to thunder outside. All right. Have a great week, everyone. One other, these are going to be posted online. This one will, and one from yesterday, we'll get the links out for that. We have open forums on it for student, for faculty. I think our next one's Tuesday or Wednesday, Christy. Look on the teach, ndsu.edu/teach. Details are there. Thank you, everyone. Have a good weekend. Hey,
Mark, one last thing, Mark.
Go ahead.
One tip for the faculty. Right now, there's no power in our neighborhood. So I am tethered to my cell phone. So advising faculty to have a cell phone with a hotspot feature is really useful. So there's absolutely no power. And then for the powering the tablet, I have one of those bricks that supply power.
Yep.
So having those kinds of bricks that supply power to your tablet and having a cell phone or a hotspot that's connected to the cellular network is going to be absolutely essential if you're going to have an outage right in the middle of your session. So
if my laptop and cell phone are on standby in case I lost power right now. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so put it in that working from home remotely page. Yeah.
I think the emergency management department has made a go bag for their office or a few of them that has those backup things that people might need, a power cord, you know, all the different selections. You might want to think about that. Jessica Jensen shared that with me.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Have a good weekend.